we invite you to listen to the WR Mystery Theater.
Marshall. You can't take it with you. This has been the conventional wisdom. Certainly it would be difficult to find someone who might seriously disagree. And yet, privately, of course, does everyone really believe that? The way some people build up treasures and possessions, you'd actually think they were making provision not for just today and tomorrow, but forever.
My darling, we will love each other forever.
Forever.
I will make you immortal.
How?
Just close your eyes.
Oh, no. That's a gun.
It will be over in a moment.
I'll be dead forever.
Trust me. Have faith in me.
No!
Our mystery drama, A Woman in Red, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Robert L. Green. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The standard engine is a V8. Standard tires, seal-belted radios. There are front and rear stabilizer bars, special springs and shock valving, fast ratio power steering, and a rally steering wheel. What makes all this interesting is that it belongs to a full-size six-passenger Buick, the 1977 LeSabre Sport Coupe. You'll have to drive it to believe it.
There is a lid for every pot. Somewhere, there's a man for every woman, a tool for every job, and a worker for every task. There is no end to the resourcefulness of the human race. When we need something, we manage to find it. And if it doesn't exist, we eventually invent it. This is what's known as progress. However, some things are harder to come by than others. A gentleman you are about to meet named Mr. Ledyard LaRue has a rather unusual problem in recruitment. And as we meet him right now, he is in a place where he believes his problem can be solved. The sign on the window says Bernie's Bar, and it is a rather disreputable-looking watering place.
Name your poison.
Poison?
A manner of speaking, Jack. What'll you have?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I wish to converse with you very frankly.
Look, I run a gin mill. I don't sell frank conversation. I only peddle booze.
Well, sir, Bernie, that's the name on the window. Have I the honor of addressing Bernie himself?
If you're hard up for honors, you can recoup here.
I need your guidance.
I don't sell guidance. I only sell booze.
I know. You only sell booze. Now, sir, Bernie, you strike me as a thoroughgoing rogue.
I do?
Yes. And this rather low, seedy saloon is most likely a rendezvous for all sorts of thieves and worse.
How would you like to pick your change and get out of here?
Will that alter the basic nature of your establishment? I have $500 for you.
To do what?
To do nothing.
And what do you want to give me $500 for?
As a finder's fee.
What am I supposed to find?
A skilled, experienced thief.
What makes you think I know any?
Oh, I see. We're haggling over the price. Make it $1,000.
No, look. You just can't walk in here and call me a crook.
I didn't call you a crook. I said find me a crook.
Okay, mister. What kind of game are you playing?
I told you. I need the services of a skillful, experienced thief. I don't know any. Are you not interested in pocketing $1,000?
How do I know you're not a cop?
Could you have survived this long if you weren't expert when it came to spotting policemen? You know I'm not a cop. I'm a rather wealthy but eccentric gentleman.
Wait here.
Bainey says you're looking for help.
What's your name?
Emmett Porcelain.
What kind of a name is that?
I got a lot of names. You don't like this one, I'll give you another.
How much do you charge?
What do you mean, how much do I charge?
Don't you have rates?
For what?
For stealing.
When I steal something, I keep it.
But when you steal for me, I'm going to keep it.
What am I supposed to steal?
The woman in red.
Goodbye. Kidnapping's out of my line.
It's a painting.
Yeah, a painting?
A picture.
I know what a painting is. You think you're talking to some hoodlum?
It's in the museum.
I go to the museums. Great places to pick up dames.
This painting is by Van der Lacken.
You gotta be crazy. You don't steal paintings, not well-known paintings.
Why not?
What can you do with them? Who can you sell them to? You want to steal? Ice, furs, cash, bonds.
I want the woman in red.
What are you going to do with her?
That's not your affair.
Where is it again?
I'd rather you refer to her as she. She's at the downtown museum.
Oh, just like that, huh? She's at the downtown museum. You know how that joint's guarded?
If it were a simple matter, I could do it myself.
To heist the picture from the downtown, how much?
$10,000.
Make it 20.
15.
Where do I deliver the picture?
Lieutenant Birdwell. No, nothing yet. Well, I'll give you your choice. You can write police are following a number of promising leads, or you can write that we are completely baffled. Take your pick. Off the record, Maury, I am really baffled. How would a piece of junk like that be worth $500,000? Woman in red. It don't even look like a woman. It don't even look like anything. I'm a what? Okay, I'm a barbarian. Have it your way. Whole world's crazy. What do you want?
Lieutenant Birdwell, I'm Detective Rodriguez.
Good for you.
Marie Concepcion Anita Pilar Rodriguez y Bordon, to be exact. I'm with the rape squad.
Well, you're in the wrong office. This is...
I know. This is robbery.
So what are you doing here?
I think I may have solved the museum burglary.
Oh, it's very interesting. The biggest art theft so far in this country, and it's got us all up a tree. Somebody, somehow, got into that museum sometime during the night, managed to deactivate the most sophisticated and efficient alarm system in the world, a completely foolproof system.
The Titanic was advertised as an unsinkable ship.
Now, take it easy, Detective Rodriguez.
Nevertheless, I solved it.
Well, how did you solve it?
I wish I could say by the use of brilliant detective work, but I can't.
Why can't you?
I solved it because I was lucky.
That's better than being brilliant. Tell me about your luck.
I take a class in filmmaking at night at City College.
Why? Never mind. I shouldn't have asked.
To broaden my horizons.
Oh, very good.
My instructor, Professor Slobodkin. Vilmos Slobodkin. The famous Czechoslovak director.
Do we need him?
Oh, yes. Yes, he happened to be in the museum the afternoon before the woman in red was stolen.
Oh, no. We're not going to find out he stole it, are we?
Vilmos is a most unobtrusive photographer. People were hardly aware that a movie was being made.
And so?
Just last night, during class, we looked at some of the footage. And I saw the thief.
You saw the thief?
Lieutenant, you have this most disconcerting manner of repeating the last part of everybody's sentences.
Well, how did you know he or she was the thief?
Vilmos' camera panned over the crowd, choosing a face here, face there, giving us a profile, a full view, a close-up. Now, one of those faces looked familiar. Where had I seen this face before? I had a blow-up made of that piece of film. Here, examine it, if you please. See if you don't experience the same stab of recognition.
Stab of recognition, eh?
Please, examine the photo.
Yeah. Hey, it's porcelain. Emmett Porcelain.
Precisely.
What would Emmett Porcelain be doing in a museum?
And at 4 p.m. Exactly 8 hours before the woman in red was stolen.
That doesn't make sense. Porcelain wouldn't steal a painting.
Porcelain would steal anything.
Anything he could raise cash on, but a painting known all over the world, who would fence it for him?
I can only answer you in the words of Samuel Johnson.
Does he have anything to do with this case?
Some 200 years ago, he wrote, "I have found you an argument. I am not obliged to find you an understanding."
Oh, that sounds a little snippy to me, Detective. Remember, you are talking to a superior officer. So, Emmett Porcelain, it's an interesting speculation. Pollen, give me the commissioner.
Yeah.
Porcelain,
Of course, no one was looking for Emmett Porcelain.
He was never known as an art thief. He's too smart to steal a painting.
Well, there's the art thief who falls in love with a painting and wants to keep it all to himself, share it with no one.
Who could fall in love with that woman in red? It's a bunch of crazy lines and blots and who knows what.
Perhaps, to some.
Now, look, are you telling me that Emmett Porcelain fell in love with that so-called portrait? And that's why he stole it?
I think he was hired to steal it.
Yeah, Lieutenant Birdwell. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, we have a tremendous lead. A skillful, experienced thief, Emmett Porcelain. We have him in a museum the day of the robbery. Now, I know it's impossible to fence, but I still say he did it. Well, sir, with all due respect, I found you an argument. I'm not obliged to find you an understanding. Yes, sir, we'll bring him in. Well, Detective Rodriguez, thank you very much. You can go back to duty now.
I am on duty, Lieutenant.
Well, I mean to say, don't you have to go back to...
I asked Inspector Nystrup if I could be transferred to your section for this investigation, and he agreed.
He agreed. Why?
Because I was an art major in college. You'll receive official notification.
Dandy.
Why don't we go pick up Porcelain?
Now, look, Detective, this is a potentially dangerous situation.
No, it isn't. Porcelain never goes about armed. He eschews violence.
He what violence?
Doesn't use it. He's very smart.
Oh, okay. Let's check him out.
I already have. He spends most of his free time at Bernie's bar.
Bernie, where can I find Emmett Porcelain?
Who's Emmett Porcelain?
A place that says known criminals are subject to loss of license.
Oh, well, why didn't you say his name more distinctly? Emmett Porcelain. What do you want him for?
We understand there's a move afoot to have him appointed adjunct professor of Sanskrit at the city college.
You're joking.
So, you see, we have to find him quickly and see if he's interested in the job before they give it to somebody else.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, well, he's living with this chick at 18 Maple Crescent.
Thank you, Bernie.
But listen, you didn't hear it from me.
Doesn't seem to be an answer. We'll go downstairs and wait for him.
I think he's home.
He doesn't answer the bell.
Well, if he'd gone out, he'd have taken in the milk.
Maybe he hasn't come home yet, huh? The fact is, he doesn't answer the bell.
The fact is, if you turn the handle, the door opens.
The fact is, we don't have a search warrant.
The fact is, we're not here to search the house. We've come to talk to Mr. Emmett Porcelain. We rang the bell. Did we hear, or did we imagine we heard someone call, come in?
I think we did hear it.
Lieutenant, look.
Hold it.
Porcelain. And he...
Yeah. He's dead.
Well, we seem to have corralled a group of eccentrics on both sides of the law. And it looked, for all the world, as if this would turn into some cute little caper. But there's nothing cute about murder. Mr. Emmett Porcelain is anything but cute as he lies sprawled on the floor, a bullet hole in his chest. His life ended for all time. But if this is the end for him, it's only the beginning for us. We continue with Act Two very shortly.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled, To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
An extremely fine and valuable painting has been stolen from a museum because a gentleman whose name is Ledyard LaRue hired an expert thief, Emmett Porcelain, to steal it for him. So far, we don't know why. We do know that Police Lieutenant Birdwell and Detective Maria Rodriguez had a lead to Emmett Porcelain. We say had because Mr. Emmett Porcelain's life has come to rather an abrupt ending.
Death caused by .32 caliber bullet wound in the heart. Thank you, Doctor. Well, so far, Detective Rodriguez, we haven't learned too much that's new. He's been shot to death, and that we knew all along. We found the body at 9 p.m., the time of death, about 6:30.
But the painting was missing.
Assuming he stole it in the first place.
We know he did.
How do we know that?
Well, what was he doing in the museum that day?
All kinds of people go to museums.
Oh, not Porcelain. He'd only have gone if he intended to steal the painting.
Let me say this to you, Detective Rodriguez. You are a snob.
Why?
You figure Emmett Porcelain a crook, not cultured, not even educated. Maybe just about semi-literate. How could he possibly be interested in the higher things in life? No, if he goes into a museum, it's not to enjoy the beauties of art, but to case the joint for a burglary.
Very well, Lieutenant. You tell me what he was doing there.
Just a minute. Lieutenant Birdwell. Oh, yeah, yeah, send her in. It's Porcelain's playmate.
Playmate?
Roommate, soulmate, who knows? Are you Angela Halberstadt?
Okay, so you know my name.
Did you live with Emmett Porcelain?
Well, I wouldn't call it living.
Did you occupy the same premises?
When he was home.
Where was he usually?
At Bernie's bar.
Who'd want to kill him?
I'd want to kill him.
Did you?
No.
Who else would?
Nobody. Why should anybody want to kill him? He was such a good-natured slob.
Why did somebody kill him?
It beats me.
Did he ever mention a woman in red?
Oh, sister. He was too smart to mention another dame in front of me.
It's a painting.
I said to him, if you ever... What do you mean, a painting?
A famous painting named The Woman in Red by Van der Laken was recently stolen from the museum.
Oh, you got a wrong number there. What would he do with a painting?
What was the last job he did?
Now, look, he's dead now, so what does it matter?
The last job. It might be the reason why he's dead.
Oh, he never got mixed up with dangerous kinds of jobs. Strictly high-class burglary. Oh, he was an artist. He would tell Bernie...
Yeah? He would tell Bernie?
Listen, I don't want to get mixed...
He got jobs through Bernie, didn't he? Didn't he? What was the last one? What was it?
I don't know what it was. See, a week or 10 days ago, he gets a phone call. It's late at night. Where are you going, I ask. Over to Bernie's, he answers. What for? Bernie's got a live one for me, he says. It's worth 10 G's.
To do what?
He never would tell me.
All right, what else do you know about it?
That's all I know about it.
Did he do the job?
I don't know. He never said.
Did you see the $10,000?
Well, he didn't show it to me. But I'll tell you one thing. He sure acted like he had it.
And he said Bernie sent the job his way.
Oh, that Bernie. If you ask me, he don't run a gin mill. He's got an employment agency there.
Mm-hmm.
And how soon will the construction be finished?
Well, I gotta say, I ain't had an order for one of these in, it's gotta be 20 years.
You haven't answered my question, Mr. Kruger.
Well, in them days, people figured they'd build their own bomb shelter.
Mr. Kruger.
10 days. Now, it don't take much time to pour the concrete. We gotta put in ventilation systems.
But I don't want a...
That's all right. You don't want a bomb shelter, you just want a mausoleum. An underground mausoleum. I can do that in a week.
Very well. I shall hold you to your word.
I'll say one thing. I never seen the like of this. I mean, your sketch, it looks like a regular tomb.
It does?
Yeah. Like one of them old tombs for the Egyptian kings or pharaohs or whatever. I mean, what do you plan to put in there?
I'm not sure it's really any of your affair, is it, Mr. Kruger?
No. As long as you pay your bill when the work is done, Mr. Larrow.
Okay, Bernie calls Porcelain in to do a job. Now, let's assume it was to steal the woman in red. Porcelain pulls it off. Porcelain gets murdered. Why?
Somebody wanted the picture stolen. That somebody is now out to separate himself from the thief.
Or maybe Bernie took part in a double cross.
I don't think so. Not for $10,000. Bernie has too much at stake to risk murder for so little money.
$10,000 is a lot of money.
That's another thing that bothers me. You hear various values assigned to that woman in red. All of them are at least hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I wouldn't give you 15 cents for it.
But no one wanted to sell it to you. Now, why would Porcelain steal it for so little money? What's all that traffic up ahead?
Huh? Oh. Hey, those are squad cars. Something's happened up there. Oh, here's a uniformed man diverting the traffic.
You gotta turn left at the corner, Bud.
I'm Lieutenant Birdwell, officer. What's going on here?
The fellow that runs a saloon on the corner, Bernie. He's been shot.
Yeah, the same gun, huh? Okay, Doc. Thanks. Both Porcelain and Bernie were killed by bullets fired from the same gun.
Makes sense, doesn't it, Lieutenant? It was necessary to murder both Bernie and Porcelain.
Beats me.
This is a man who...
Well, wait a minute. Why do you say it's a man? Why couldn't it be a woman?
Because the stolen portrait is the woman in red.
Well, that's just a title. That picture could represent anything.
A man falls in love with a painting. He wants it for himself. All for himself.
Where's your proof?
He doesn't intend to sell it. All he can really do with it is perhaps hold it for ransom. In which case, it's like a kidnapping. Has the museum been contacted for money so far?
No.
Oh, I'm sure it won't be. Unless we find the painting, it'll never be seen again.
Well, that couldn't be the greatest tragedy.
Oh, it's really a beautiful painting, Lieutenant. If you look at it properly.
Okay. You say a guy fell in love with a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And he had it stolen because he wants it all for himself?
Oh, I'm sure of it.
I never heard of such nonsense.
It could happen.
Now, my darling, shall we have some music? How beautiful you are. Mozart. He seems to suit you. How old are you? 20. Yes. Van der Laken painted you when you were 20 years old. Well, I'm twice your age, but I'm not too old for you. Do you know when I fell in love with you? When I saw you in the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam. It was love at first sight. I came back to America and tried to forget you, but it was no use. Then when you came here to America, to the downtown, I knew I would have to have you. And you are mine. Mine forever. I shall take you with me. We shall never be apart. Never. My woman in red. My beautiful woman in red. Oh, be still. Excuse me, darling, but this persistent fool. Yes?
Mr. Leroux?
Who is this?
Me, Kruger.
Yes, what do you want?
I want my money.
You'll get your money.
The deal was on completion, you know?
I know. I agreed.
The tomb, or whatever you want to call it, it was finished yesterday.
I said you'd get your money.
The reason I could give you the price was because I expected to get paid right away.
You're going to get paid.
When?
Tonight. I'll come over to your house and pay you.
Oh, no, you don't have to. I mean, I could stop by there tomorrow.
No, I'd rather you got yours tonight. Goodbye. Excuse me, my darling. I am bedeviled by these morons. Soon, there shall be no interruptions. Soon, the whole world will consist only of you and me.
Yeah, you're right. It is a nut. The guy wants the painting all to himself.
Now, what do we really know? One night, say about a month ago, a man comes into a saloon, makes Bernie an offer. Bernie then introduces him to Portland.
But even if that man exists, we have no way in this world of finding him. Oh, boy, listen to that. It's gotta be the commissioner. He's getting the heat, and he's passing it right down.
Are you going to answer it?
I guess there's no way out. We also got politics, international politics. That painting was on loan from Holland.
Do you want me to answer it?
Yeah. Tell him, let's hear what kind of brilliant excuse you can make up for me, huh?
Lieutenant Birdwell's desk, Detective Rodriguez. Yes? Who? Oh, yes, well, what? Oh, yes, I see. Yes, I'll tell him.
Who was that? And what bad news did he have?
That was the medical examiner. There was a murder last night, a man named Elvard Kruger. He was a stonemason.
Well, why do I have to know about it?
He was killed by a .32 caliber bullet, which...
Which was fired from the same gun that killed Porcelain and Bernie?
How did you know?
Well, what else could it be? If we don't catch this guy soon, he's going to wipe out the entire city.
Not an unreasonable assumption. At least, that's the way this thing has been going. Well, you're ahead of Lieutenant Birdwell and Sergeant Rodriguez, but not by very much. I'm sure there are a great many questions you will also want answered, and that happens in the place we always set aside for it, Act 3, which I shall bring to you in just a moment.
The 1977 Buick Regal. It comes with Buick's terrific V6 engine. It carries six people and lots of Buick comfort. It's lean, it's maneuverable in city traffic. It's the most luxurious mid-sized car Buick builds. Yeah, this new Regal is pretty much everything a car should be, except for one thing. It isn't yours yet, but it can be. Just see your Buick dealer for a test drive. Soon.
ShopRite Can-Can Stock-Up Buys. ShopRite Garden Sweet Peas, sliced beets, pork and beans, or whole or cream-style corn, 5 1-pound cans, $4.99. Save at the meat case, too. Whole or half choice grade shell of beef, custom cut, $1.29 a pound.
Cava Man, the risky life and casualty company is really down in the dumps about losing their Cava instant coffee.
I know, and I suspect the butler stole it.
A butler in an insurance company?
I believe he's traveling in disguise.
You can't disguise the great taste of Cava instant coffee. Cava is rich, smooth, never bitter, because Cava is the only coffee that's 90% acid neutralized.
Acid neutralization is a coffee taste fixer-upper.
One morning, I enjoyed my Cava so much, I forgot to go to work.
Have a cup of Cava. What a cup of coffee.
Cava man. There's a man outside dressed like a butler offering a cup of Cava to a secretary.
But I'm looking for a butler dressed up like a man.
Tune in again when we're all excitingly brought to you by Cava, the great smooth-tasting instant coffee with the really ugly label. Cava from Horton.
As you know, the woman in red, a valuable painting, has been stolen from the museum. A Mr. Ledyard LaRue commissioned a Mr. Emmett Porcelain to perform the deed and then killed Mr. Porcelain, and also a gentleman named Burney, who functioned as a sort of agent for Mr. Porcelain. Mr. LaRue has also murdered a Mr. Kruger, who has built a tomb or a mausoleum or a crypt for him. Evidently, it is extremely hazardous to perform services for this Mr. Ledyard LaRue.
Now, Mrs. Kruger, I'm sorry I have to bother you, but did your husband have any enemies?
Oh, no, no. Everyone liked Elvart.
Did he know a man named Burney?
Burney.
Burney ran a saloon.
Oh, the day he married me, he promised to keep out of saloons. He has not set foot inside one in 35 years.
Did he know a man named Emmett Porcelain?
Oh, what kind of crazy name is that?
Did he?
No. No, I knew everybody he knew.
What did Mr. Kruger do?
He was a mason. He could do everything. He'd make you a patio, he'd make you a wall, he'd make you a swimming pool. The last thing he made was a grave.
A grave?
Yeah, he was working from a diagram. It looked like a room. It was made out of reinforced concrete. It was underground.
A shelter?
Oh, that's what I said. He said, no, it was a grave. Whose grave, I asked. Ah, that's a secret, he said. No one was supposed to know, not even me.
A grave? A crypt? A vault? Did he ever finish it?
Well, he must. See, the other night I said to him, let's go to the pictures. He says, no, I got to stick around. The guy's coming over to pay me. Go by yourself. I went by myself. I come home. He was dead.
Who'd he build the thing for?
I told you, I don't know.
Well, wouldn't he have a record of it in his book?
Yeah, I guess he would. Listen, do you think this guy might have...
We'd certainly like to know his name.
Well, he kept everything in a book. Right here on the table. Here. You see, he would contract for a job. He'd write down the guy's name, address, price, kept a record of everything he spent, labor and so forth. Yeah, it would have to be on the last page. It had to be the last job he'd done.
Well, that says Mr. Norman Selinkowski.
Oh, wait a minute. That ain't the last job he'd done. Mr. Selinkowski was a cement wall.
Yeah, but it's the last one in the book.
Lieutenant, there's a page torn out.
Are you sure he kept the record?
He always kept the record.
The killer could have torn it out.
Hold it. We could talk to your husband's helpers. They'd know where the work was done and for whom.
Oh, no. No, they wouldn't.
Well, why not?
Because he worked on it alone.
Alone?
That was part of the job. He had to do it by himself. Tell nobody where it was, for who or anything. So every morning he'd go away in the truck and he'd come back at night.
He didn't even tell you?
He said, I promised the guy. He seemed to be enjoying the idea. I think he would have told me later on.
Hey, did he tell you anything about the man, who he was, what he looked like?
No.
Did he drop any kind of information we could use?
Oh, no.
Wow. Thank you, Mrs. Kruger.
Well, are you going to catch this killer? Or is this going to be another one of those unsolved crimes?
Sit down, Ledyard. I am so glad to see you.
How are you, Doctor?
Oh, I'm just fine. I wish I could say the same about you.
Well,
I'm resigned to it.
Well, I must say, you've taken it remarkably well.
You said that when the pains came, I would know that it would only be a matter of a week or two.
Yes, have they?
Not as bad as I thought they'd be, but they make their presence known. Will they get worse?
No. Actually, they'll even diminish. Ledyard, I happened to be in your part of town yesterday.
You should have dropped in.
I did. You weren't home.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I looked in through the living room window, and I saw the lovely things you have. The furniture, the antiques. I thought you'd got rid of them.
No, I didn't.
Oh, what are you going to do with them?
I intend to put them in a safe place.
I was hoping you'd leave them to a museum.
No, I won't.
Why not? You really don't have anyone near or dear to leave them to.
Doctor, I don't intend to leave my beautiful things to anybody.
Well, unfortunately, somebody's going to get them.
No, I don't think so.
The fact is, you can't take them with you.
Are you sure of that?
I'm not sure I understand you.
Forget it. Goodbye, Doctor. I won't see you again.
I'll drop by tomorrow and every day.
Please don't. I'm making plans.
Yes, I would imagine so.
Plans to just steal away from the world.
Well, I guess this is it, Detective Rodriguez. We're licked, stumped. We're up a tree. We'll never crack this case. You might just as well go back to the peace and quiet of the rape squad.
Oh, we'll solve it.
No, we already did that. We know who stole it, but he's dead.
We also know why it was stolen.
You mean some guy fell in love with the woman in red and wants it for his very own?
I'll tell you who this man is.
You mean you know his name?
Do you know what the pharaohs of ancient Egypt did?
Does that have a bearing on this case?
Oh, yes. They believe you could take your treasures with you to the next world. A king, a man of wealth, was buried with his possessions, so he could take them to the next world.
Look, what does all
this... The people who prepared the pharaoh's tomb, the ones who buried him, do you know what happened to them?
Detective, I have lived this long without...
They were all killed. For two reasons. First, so they could serve as his slaves in the next world. Second, so they would be unable to come back later and rob the tomb. Now look at what's happening here. A man is in love with a painting. He has it stolen, kills the people who did it. Then he has his tomb or crypt constructed and kills the man who built it. Why? Because he plans to have treasures in his grave. And one of them, the woman in red.
Detective Rodriguez, where do you get this nonsense?
Excuse me. Are you Lieutenant Birdwell?
Yes.
In charge of the woman in red investigation.
You have any information?
Well, I'm in a very difficult position. A man who is not just a patient, but also a lifelong friend. Well...
Yes?
This gentleman has contracted a rare but fatal disease. There is absolutely no cure. Within the next week, he'll be dead.
And he stole the woman in red.
I paid him a visit the other day. He's quite a recluse. No one ever comes to see him. He has the most beautiful things in his home. He was out. But I happened to glance through the window, and I saw the woman in red hanging on the wall.
I want to thank you for coming forward, Doctor.
If he had only planned to enjoy the painting for the very brief remainder of his life, I would have remained silent. However, he spoke to me of taking his treasures with him. And in the classical sense, that might mean he intended to be buried with them somewhere in secret.
Doctor, your patient's name?
Mr. Ledyard LaRue.
not take any chances. There's no such thing as a harmless nut. You sit in the car, Detective Rodriguez.
No.
And cover me. Eddie, you and Al, go around the back. Okay, let's hit it. Mr. LaRue. Mr. LaRue. Open up in there. Hey, I told you to wait in the car.
Can't you see, Lieutenant? Look through the window. The place is empty. Our man is gone.
And he took everything with him.
This man will be dead in a week or 10 days. And if we don't find him before that time, everything will be gone forever.
In that tomb he built for himself?
Yes. He built his final resting place. And like some ancient king, filled it with the things he loved in this world. Well, there may be one way we can capture him and recover the woman in red.
Yeah?
Why did he steal the painting?
Well, according to you, because he fell in love with her.
That's right. He fell in love with her. But he settled for the painting, because that's all that was available to him. Suppose he could have the living woman in red.
Now, before I even ask anything else, Detective, where could we ever find some Dutch woman we don't even know who posed for a portrait 20 years ago?
You've just found her.
What?
How would you like to go on TV with me, Lieutenant?
I would like to thank this station for giving us the time this evening. I'm Lieutenant Birdwell of the police department, in charge of the Woman in Red investigation. And with me tonight is Miss Henrikia Van Bremer. Did I pronounce that right?
Oh, yes.
She is the model who posed for the Woman in Red. The actual, real-life Woman in Red. Sitting here with me. She's even wearing the same red dress. And she wants to say a few words.
Thank you. The painting is so dear to my heart. I would hope that whoever took it would be kind enough to restore it back so that all of us may enjoy it once again. Please? Please. Yes.
I saw you on the air.
Oh?
I called the station, and they gave me this number.
What do you want with me?
I have the painting. I'd like to talk to you about it.
Could you come here?
You know I couldn't do that. Would you like to meet me?
Oh, yes.
Let me tell you where. And if you're not alone...
Oh, I'll be alone.
Woman in red.
Oh, you startled me. Do you have to shine a light in my eyes?
I'm sorry. Come with me.
Where are we going?
To eternity.
I don't understand.
You will. Just a few steps this way, and down here, and... Come inside. There's nothing to fear.
What is this place?
My home.
It's a vault.
I'll die here among all the things I love.
Well, you do have many beautiful things.
Yes, aren't they? I spent a lifetime collecting. But now, my life is over.
I see.
When I was told that I must die, I felt I'm so young. It's so unfair. Why me?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, don't be. I was sorry at first. Sorry for myself. But I see now. It's best to die while the flower is in full bloom. Why wait for decay? And I didn't wish to go alone. Love meant so little in my life, because I never found a woman I could love.
And then I saw the woman in red. And she ruled out all others. And since she was the only one I could love, I wanted her to be with me.
Is that why you stole the painting?
How could I steal her? She was mine, by right of conquest.
Did you have to kill those three men?
Yes.
But
what? I am as a king, and others exist to serve me. Their lives are of no consequence.
Mr. LaRue, you admit you arranged for the theft of the woman in red.
Theft? I took what was mine.
You admit you murdered Bernie, Mr. Porcelain, and Mr. Kruger. Now, before you answer, I must inform you of your rights.
I know my rights.
I am a police officer.
You are the woman in red, my queen, my consort. I am taking you with me.
I must ask you to come with me. I am prepared to use all proper and necessary force.
Darling, it will not hurt. I just place the bullet where it kills instantly. I promise you, there will be no pain. Do not move, beloved. You will make it difficult for me to...
Please, let go of the gun.
My arm! You're breaking my arm!
Drop the gun!
Darling, you must come with me!
Let go of the gun! Thank you. That's better.
We could have been king and queen together.
You're under arrest, Mr. LaRue. And anything you say may be used against you.
Isn't it rather refreshing to have a girl in a perilous position who doesn't have to be rescued by the hero, but is quite capable of getting out of it herself? She came there alone because Ledyard LaRue would carry out his threat to destroy the painting if she were followed. Our Detective Rodriguez is definitely a lady who can take care of herself. I'll return in just a few moments.
Here's one January white sale that offers more than sheets and towels. Now True Value Hardware stores offer their quality True Test white paints at special low prices during their True Test January white paint sale. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you about just two of them. You'll find True Test Easy Care White Latex Flat Enamel, the wash and wear paint, on sale for just $9.97 a gallon. Most stains, grease, and grime can't readily penetrate Easy Care's enamel hard surface, so they simply wash away without leaving a shiny mark. And True Test Easy Care has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal. True Value Hardware stores also offer True Test Satin Hue White Flat Interior Latex on sale. It provides a rich, flat finish you can wash. It usually covers most surfaces in just one coat and dries in just 30 minutes. It's just $8.97 a gallon. Save on these True Test white paints and more during the True Test white paint sale, going on now exclusively at participating True Value Hardware stores.
Buenos dias, amigos. I am José Ferrer. Maybe you remember me as Cyrano or in Moulin Rouge. But in real life, you know, I was born in beautiful Puerto Rico. Today, so many people think of the island only as the bustling city of San Juan. But there's another Puerto Rico. As a child, I ran on its silky, white sand beaches and heard the song of the coquí in sunsets like Spanish gold. This is the Puerto Rico of Cerro Mar and Dorado Beach Hotels, the rock resort places 20 miles from San Juan. Here, people are courteous and gracious. There are 2 miles of magnificent beaches, 4 famous golf courses, great tennis, and miles of trails by the sea. Come to my Puerto Rico, the beautiful Puerto Rico of Cerro Mar and Dorado and José Ferrer.
Dorado Beach has a winter golf package available January and March. 7 days, $489 per person, double occupancy. Includes room, 2 meals, green fees, and golf carts. Kitchen Live means less cooking, more time for fun. So whether for family dinners, parties, or friends dropping in, Polish ham is your answer. Krakus or Atlanta brands. These are fully cooked right in the can. All gristle and bone have been removed. So you buy only lean, tender meat. This is great for your budget, too. All you need to do is open the can and slice whatever quantity you need. Of course, you can also heat Polish ham if you prefer a warm meal. Krakus and Atalanta are the only imported hams to have continuously earned both the Parents Magazine Seal of Commendation and the Good Housekeeping Seal. All this and great flavor, too, in handy 2, 3, 5, or 7 pound tins, or sliced in whatever quantity you need. Get Krakus or Atalanta hams at food stores in your neighborhood. You'll love its convenience. Your family will love its great taste. These have been imported for more than 25 years by New York Commodities Corporation. Available at all Acme supermarkets.
Some 50 minutes ago, we asked, can you take it with you? And although we've made some speculations, we really haven't come up with a definitive answer. When we go, we leave something behind. The body. What we take with us is, hopefully, the spirit. It could be the same for our treasures. Perhaps we leave the body of our possessions here below and take their spirit with us. Our cast included Robert L. Green, E.V. Jester, Robert Dryden, Bryna Rayburn, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Tonight's Mystery Theater was also brought to you in part by ShopRite Supermarket, where you get a lot more for a little less. The preceding program was furnished by CBS Radio.
In the current issue of TV Guide magazine, a prominent TV executive issues a harsh warning to the television industry. His pointed comments about programming content, commercials, and family viewing time make provocative reading. The same issue profiles Arthur Rubinstein. For 83 of his 90 years, he has been playing the piano on stage. As television prepares a special on the maestro, TV Guide details his outstanding career. This week's cover story traces the work that went into the best-selling book, Roots. Alex Haley's search for his ancestry took 12 years and covered three continents. As an adaptation of his book comes to television, Haley recalls the climax of his search. This week in TV Guide, America's biggest selling magazine, on sale everywhere.
Your dial is set for news with John Scott reporting. This is WOR New York, an RKO general station.
Doctor is found dead, his body shackled and bound with wire in his East Side office. A spy story in New Jersey. And President-elect Carter arrives in Washington for tomorrow's inaugural. It's 22 degrees in clear mid-Manhattan. The man says clear and not as cold tonight, the low 15 to 20. This is John Scott with the 8 o'clock edition of the news. The bound and gagged body of a 72-year-old Manhattan doctor has been discovered in his East Side medical office. The body was found by the building superintendent after patients reported they were unable to get in. The victim, identified as Dr. Eugene Stevens, was described by a neighbor as a gentleman who always kept his door locked. Police said the physician had been handcuffed and his legs were bound with wire. The cause of death has been reported as suffocation. Police said the offices at 101 East 86th Street, just off Park Avenue, had been ransacked. A spy story in New Jersey, reported by WOR's Ed Nash.
For the first time since 1963, an indictment for espionage has been handed down by a federal grand jury in New Jersey. Ivan Rogalski of Jackson is the individual charged. Yevgeny Karpov, the Soviet second secretary at the UN, is an unindicted conspirator, but Karpov cannot be prosecuted because of diplomatic immunity. U.S. Attorney Jonathan Goldstein summarized the indictment.
It is part of the conspiracy. Rogalski, together with his co-conspirators, approached an individual who had access to certain material and information. Part of the conspiracy was to induce that individual to deliver this information to the defendant Rogalski in order that Rogalski could then deliver the information to the Soviet Union through their representatives here in the United States.
Rogalski is charged with trying to secure space shuttle information from an RCA Space Center employee who called the FBI. From the Newark Federal Building, this is Ed Nash for WOR News.
President-elect Jimmy Carter arrived in Washington this evening, saying he's eager to prove himself as the nation's 39th president. During the plane ride to Washington from Plains, Georgia, Carter told reporters he believes the nation is heading toward a greater time than we've ever seen before. Carter also said he hopes to stay close to the American people, not to disappoint them. And he added, I think I have a chance to be a great president. Meanwhile, Senator Hubert Humphrey gave a 20-minute speech on the Senate floor today, praising outgoing President Ford. The Minnesota Democrat said he may have disagreed with Mr. Ford, but Humphrey said as chief executive, he had served with honor, ability, and dedication. From Washington, WOR's Clifford Evans has some thoughts on the outgoing administration.
It's a matter of hours, less than one full day, and Gerald Ford will be a former president of the United States. He will have left Capitol Hill after seeing Jimmy Carter succeed him as president, and Mr. Ford will be aboard a presidential jet en route to Monterey. He will be on the same historic jet on which Lyndon Johnson was sworn in Dallas to succeed John Kennedy. Mr. Ford will be as busy as he wants to be, as relaxed as a man's emotional chemistry will permit him to be. But whether he will continue to replay his one effort at national election is something none of us will know. All his life, Jerry Ford was a winner. Now he has left Washington a loser, but with top honors and much respect as a warm, friendly person who lucked in as the President of the United States, brought stability to a nation of uncertain, frightened people who almost saw a president impeached. And now Jerry Ford moves on, not an innovative president, not an exciting leader, but, as always, a nice guy. Clifford Evans, Washington correspondent, WOR News.
In one of his last acts in office, President Ford tonight formally asked Congress for a $100 billion program to aid commercial projects in the development of new energy supplies. He said he decided to take the action because of U.S. vulnerability and dependence on foreign oil, and he said America cannot allow excessive delays in moving ahead with new production. Senate Democratic leaders blocked immediate approval today of a resolution expressing opposition to President-elect Carter's amnesty plan, but two preliminary votes showed what could be a surprising amount of opposition to Carter's plan to grant general amnesty for Vietnam draft evaders. Civil rights leaders vowed tonight to take the fight against Attorney General-designate Griffin Bell to the Senate floor. The Washington lobbyist for the NAACP, Clarence Mitchell, said he was disappointed by the Senate Judiciary Committee's 10-3 vote in favor of Bell's nomination. The full Senate will begin taking up nominations to Carter's cabinet tomorrow following the inauguration. The WOR News Time, it's 5 minutes past 8.
Think about tomorrow, yes, you gotta think about tomorrow if you want to plan for your tomorrow. Come on in, let Anchor Savings show you the way to build for tomorrow today.
Yes, for the security of your family's tomorrow, be sure to include low-cost savings bank life insurance today. At Anchor Savings Bank, you will get the kind of family coverage you want at less cost than ever before. And to be eligible for low-cost savings bank life insurance, all you have to do is live or work in New York State. So come and talk to your Anchor banker in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Staten Island, and Long Island. He understands.
Your Anchor banker, she understands.
Let Anchor Savings show you the way.
Member FDIC.
The temperature moderated somewhat today in the metropolitan area. At least it seemed moderate in view of the bitter blasts which preceded. Utilities seem to think they can struggle through if residents continue cooperating. Meantime, an interesting weather development has emerged, with Alaska having its warmest winter on record, while snow has fallen in parts of Florida for the first time in living memory. Temperatures in Anchorage today were in the 40s, and authorities there said people are complaining about the lack of snow. But there was snow thousands of miles to the southeast in such winter resort spots as suburban Miami, Pensacola, and the Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg areas of Florida. Retired WOR engineer Walter McDonough lives in St. Petersburg, and WOR's Lester Smith asked him whether he's experienced what he considers to be un-Florida-type conditions.
We certainly have. This morning when we got up around 7:30, there was a virtual blizzard outside. Snow coming down like you couldn't believe. And so we've been down here 5 years, and it's the first bit of winter we've ever seen.
When you say that you had a really heavy snowfall, did it stick? Did it stay in the ground?
It stuck for quite... I wouldn't say it stuck too much on the ground, but it stuck on the back of automobiles. And here rear windows are all covered with snow.
How cold was it?
Well, the official temperature they said down here was about 34, but the wind chill factor down here was 7 degrees. This is not my idea of Florida. We had a problem this morning because of the great drain on the heat. St. Petersburg was without electricity for 2.5 hours, and that made it pretty cold.
That was because of an excessive use for heating appliances and things of that sort.
That's right.
Did you have to put on your longies and go out and shovel snow?
No. Oh, no, nothing like that. No, the snow didn't last very long.
But it was very un-Florida-like this morning, I tell you.
It certainly was, and we do no swimming today.
So far as we know, nobody from WOR ever retired to Alaska, but maybe they weren't so smart after all. For the 49th state is going through its warmest winter on record, with temperatures in the 40s in Anchorage today. Newsman David Shoup says this is causing all sorts of unusual problems.
The state has been trying to mount a wolf hunt to alleviate pressure on the Western Arctic caribou herd. They can't do that because there isn't enough snow up there to facilitate the hunt, because they use snowmobiles and dog sleds, etc. The dog sledding situation is bad. There usually are a lot of dog sled races around Anchorage this time of year. The weather has been so warm that they don't really have enough snow, and the snow that is out there is slushy, so they can't stage those things. Cross-country skiers are up in arms. Downhill skiers are upset. Other than that, there aren't any real civil problems that are accompanying this warm spell.
The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics disclosed today that prices in the New York, Northeast, New Jersey area rose last month by 0.4%. Thus, the overall 1976 hike in consumer costs was 4.2%, reflecting a second consecutive year of moderation in the inflation rate. Regional Bureau Commissioner Herbert Bienstock says increases in food, rents, electricity, and fuel oil accounted for the December increase. He stated the consumer price index was at 179.7, meaning the public had to spend $17.97 in December for what $10 could buy in the 1967 base period. Now, I'll have the weather and the top of the news in brief coming up in just a moment. New Yorkers have a new love affair. It's the pampered steak at the Assembly Steakhouse at 16 West 51st Street. You, too, will love it. John Kennedy of the New York Times rates the Assembly Steakhouse 3 stars, a notable tribute to the pampered steak. The Assembly pampers your steak every step of the way, from selection to preparation to serving. You'll notice the difference, and you'll like it. In addition to great steak, the Assembly is also famed for its fish and giant lobsters served at their delicious peak of freshness. Come and enjoy a total dining experience where the warm and interesting decor proves that a great steak and seafood house just doesn't have to have sawdust on the floor. For lunch, for cocktails, for dinner, or after theater, treat yourself to fantastic steak and seafood. There's free parking from dinner to after theater and piano entertainment weeknights. For reservations, call 581-3580. The Assembly Steakhouse in Rockefeller Center at 16 West 51st Street, the home of the pampered steak, New York's loved one. The Weather Watch update for New York City and the vicinity: clear and not as cold tonight, the low 15 to 20. Tomorrow, sunny, followed by increasing cloudiness in the afternoon, the high in the low 30s. Chance of occasional snow flurries tomorrow night into Friday morning, the low around 20. Partial clearing on Friday, the high in the upper 20s. Chance of rain, snow, whatever, near zero tonight, 10% tomorrow and 30% tomorrow night. Right now in clear mid-Manhattan, it's 22 degrees Fahrenheit. That's -6 Celsius. The humidity, 57%. The wind northwest at 8 miles an hour, gust to 23 miles an hour. The barometer steady at 29.64 inches. The top story: doctor found dead, his body shackled and bound with wire in Upper East Side office. A spy story from New Jersey, and President-elect Carter arrives in Washington for tomorrow's inaugural. And that, friends, is the 8 o'clock edition of the news. John Scott reporting, bidding you good night. Next news as it happens, next scheduled news tonight at 9. With John Wingate over WOR Radio 710, the talk of New York.